I was a bit surprised when I read that in the early 80s you were under a big influence of industrial things like Throbbing Gristle, Cabaret Voltaire, and well, your melancholy, your romanticism doesn't reveal this industrial background. What else shaped your style, and was industrial really important to you?
I think, yeah, industrial is now, often people think about Nine Inch Nails when they talk about industrial, but in the early 80s when we started, bands like Psychic TV or Coil, they did all these experiments with sounds being very harsh, being very brutal in one way, and then they had these beautiful songs on the other hand. If you think about Psychic TV's Dreams Less Sweet, if you remember that one, you know, there are beautiful songs on it, just the other side of, I don't know if you ever were into drugs, and I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that on the radio right now, but you know, there are like two sides if you go on a trip. Can be very sweet and can be very brutal on the other hand. And I think if you listen to that early stuff, it's very, very in your face what is going on there.
Okay, so what, as I said before, what else shaped your style? Tell me about your evolution as musicians, as artists, the main steps in your evolution.
Okay, main step, first step, a 9-year-old boy listening to T-Rex and Mott the Hoople. I think that two songs got me into music. That was Mott the Hoople's Roll Away the Stone and T-Rex Ride a White Swan. That was when I was 9, and I think I was in love for the very first time as well. So this really get along together really well, worked really good. Later on, I was listening to the stuff my elder brother was listening to, you know, like prog rock, Pink Floyd, this kind of stuff, you know, which was really irritating to me, but I tried to understand what was going on there. And then, yeah, punk was the first music there, which was really mine. And that was when I started doing music and when I met Bernd. That was in 1981. Rosa Extra, that was what we just met, you know, in East Berlin. When you meet a punk on the street, you just go like, hello, what's your name, what you doing, what you listening to, you, what's up, you know, and you play in a band and stuff like that. And so that's the way we met, and we started in a punk rock band. And then later we found out that we've been basically through the same thing. He started with T-Rex and this kind of stuff when he was a child, you know. He had a bit of the same story that I was up into. So it started with punk. Next step was, of course, you know, all this industrial stuff like Einstürzende Neubauten, Tödliche Doris, and this Throbbing Gristle, Coil stuff we talked about. That was like in the 80s we had like two projects. One was Ornament und Verbrechen, that was kind of my band, and Aufruhr zur Liebe, which was Bernd's band. And then, of course, late 80s we got into this acid kind of thing going on, you know, like early house and acid stuff, which became EBM even, and even this Chicago stuff like Ministry and this kind of stuff, we got into that. And then at the 90s, during the wall came down, all this techno thing broke loose, which was really inspiring, because in those days techno was completely different from what it is now. It was strictly underground, you know. It was really like a really fascinating thing, which reminded me hardly on the early punk days, which is hard to explain to somebody who wasn't, you know. It was pretty rough in the early 90s, you know, like early Trésor Planet, you know. The concept of the party was perfect, you know. The DJ wasn't a star in those days, just somebody spinning records. It was very loud, very brutal, very, very in your face, and very inspiring though. And then in the mid-90s, when Tarwater started, Berlin was an interesting place for doing so, because part of the techno became very commercialized, you know, all this Schlumpf, you know, Smurf techno, and kind of this kind of Smurf house, you know, and this all this funny stuff. What's that? You. Blümchen. Yeah, Blümchen, Love Parade, and so on. All this mess, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All right. But then, on the other hand, there was this whole minimal techno going on, which was very interesting, because in Berlin you had a lot of clubs. These clubs didn't have any financial pressure, you know. They could afford to have experiments there, and to be I'm more talking about the mid 90s. You know, these were clubs like Pansonic, Sexyland, and stuff like that. You know, that. Clubs like that, there were, you know, there were sometimes just people doing hardly nothing, which was radical in those days. Now everybody's fed up with these laptop acts, and yeah, everybody thinks it's boring, you know. But in those days, it was really like just having somebody with a machine and doing very minimal thing was radical in those days. And I remember the Pansonic, that was a club where when the people started to dance, they stopped to play music, which was cool in those days, you know. Because it was like for after shows, people often went there, but as soon as they started to move, the girl who was running the club said, okay, that's it. And that was the time when we started. These were even the days when Mauser, Mars and Kreidler and these bands break up all these genres, you know, like starting to work with electronics and acoustics, and it got more, there was more freedom. It was like it was a good time, you know, for experiments. Yeah, there was this certain freedom, this love for experiment, and the, you know, you have this in waves coming back. That's a fascinating thing about music. It always comes back. Every 5 years you have something new going on, which is good.